Today's message, we're looking at being set free from condemnation. Set free from condemnation. We read there in our text, as our message is coming from John 3, where we read this morning, but it says to us in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, there is enough of the gospel in that verse to save the whole world if the world would just hear it and believe it. Now, a man named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jewish people, had come to Jesus and said to him in verse 2 of chapter 3, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now, he may have thought the Messiah would come, but Jesus here in verse 16 announced that God loved the whole world. It just wasn't the nation of Israel. He loved the whole world. That's the rich, the poor, whoever. The only begotten Son of God, God's gift to the entire family of Adam, loves all. He came from the Father's bosom to reclaim and redeem all that Adam lost in the garden. And there is no greater announcement in the Bible than this verse. Think about it, brothers and sisters. God is pure love and righteousness. Yet he could love a world that hated him and his son, and a world that still hates him and his son, a world that demanded the death of his son, nailed him to a cross, and mocked him while he was dying. And not only did God love the whole world, he also provided salvation at the greatest cost that even God himself could know. There is no way to value the cost of our great salvation. God did not send angels, cherubim, or any other heavenly creature to pay the price of redemption. He gave his only begotten Son. There is no other way, or else God would have done it. And the love spoken of here is not just for a few. God so loved that he gave, and he proved his love by giving the very best, his Son. Christ on the cross is the result of God's love for the world, not the cause of his love. God does not love us because Jesus died on the cross. The truth is, Jesus did die on the cross because God loved us while we were yet sinners. And to preach that God loves us because Jesus shed his blood is absolute ignorance. The truth given in the gospel is that God gave Jesus to the world because he so loved the world. And it wasn't the Lord's suffering that caused God to love man. It was God's love that sent Jesus into the world and allowed Jesus to suffer on that cross. You see, God gave his Son to a lost, sinful world that deserved no better than hell with all its sorrow and all its misery. He gave Jesus to pay sin's debts. And like Paul, 2 Corinthians 9:15, we should be crying out, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Yet for many, Christmas can be a time of hardship, of loneliness, of heartbreak. It can be a time of sorrow, the loss of loved ones. And why I can't give you an answer, why Christmas seems to bring all that up, I can't give you an answer to why so many horrible things happen at this time of the year. But praise God, He gave the gift we most definitely need. He gave His Son, our Saviour. And in the rest of our text, it says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil." The first thing I want us to look at this morning is that God did not send Jesus to condemn. He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. We see Nicodemus learns another heavenly lesson. The main reason for the Messiah coming into this sinful world. Even though the world deserved judgment and condemnation, Jesus didn't come to judge and condemn men. God had every reason to send judgment. The world is guilty. It is ignorant. It is selfish. But much of God's goodness is in not doing what He might justly and easily do. You know, man's thinking towards the works of God is often false. God is far better towards us, more gracious to us than we could ever think. In fact, Isaiah 55:8 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Listen, for one moment, if God took His hand off the control of nature, even in this world, for one moment, we would be wiped out. But look how God dealt with His people. Psalm 103:10. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins." Isn't that a blessing? "Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." You see, God could have sent His Son into the world to condemn it. The world deserved it. But in His goodness, He avoided it. He sent His Son to save the world instead. He came to lay down His life so that men could be saved. You know, Nicodemus would have known about the prophecy concerning the Messiah, Psalm 2:7. "I will declare the decree of the Lord, has said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron." Nicodemus would have known of Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 7. Nicodemus may have expected the Messiah to come in power and great glory, a mighty judge to judge the nations with a rod of iron, to cast down the enemies of Israel. But Jesus declares, "I have not come to condemn the world. I've come to save people from their sins." Very soon, Jesus will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will judge the nations when He comes a second time, but He came the first time as a meek and lowly Lamb of God as our Saviour from sins, that the world through Him might be saved. Now, that doesn't mean everyone is going to go to heaven, because Jesus clearly says in the next verse that those who believe not are condemned already. But Jesus loved the world. He carried the sins of the whole world to the cross, and He took them upon Himself, and He paid the penalty and the price that we deserved. He died for the whole world, but only those who believe on him are saved from sin. John 5:39 says, "Search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life." You see, Jesus opened the door of salvation to the whole world. John 10, he says, "I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." You see, there is enough grace to save everybody. God is an infinite, limitless God, and his grace is the same. There's enough for all who have been born again. Because the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. But you must be born again to be saved. Secondly, those who believe not. Those who believe are not condemned. He that believeth on him, verse 18, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here we have one of the greatest verses you will find in Scripture. It shows us three very important facts. First, who is saved and why? Who is lost and when? And why the lost are lost? So who is saved and why? He that believeth on him is not condemned. Anyone can understand what that means. To believe on Jesus is to trust him, to have faith in him, to rely upon him. To believe on Jesus is to believe everything the Word of God says about him. That he was in the beginning with the Father, that he was in the bosom of the Father, that he was born of a virgin, he died, he was buried, he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And when we receive Christ, when we believe on him as he's revealed to us in the Word of God, condemnation has been removed. Not for a day or a week, not until we may fall, but it's removed forever. Amen? Forever. And three times in four verses, Jesus speaks of believing on him. And in verses we're looking at today, 15 to 18, we have a divine declaration concerning how important faith is. Faith that believes in Jesus, as it has to do with being justified. And apart from believing on him, there is no justification, there is no eternal life. And anyone and all who hear the gospel message can believe if they want to. Salvation on the basis of faith in God makes salvation possible for anyone. The worst sinner who has ever lived can be saved by faith and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The drunken, the drug addict, the prostitute, anybody. All come the same way to God by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting his finished work. There's no difference. The believer then is not condemned, they are pardoned. Not paroled, but pardoned. Justified. Clear of all guilt. Why? Because they've received the one who carried all their sin, all their guilt to the cross, and it was nailed there. And in Jesus Christ, the believer is delivered from the curse of the broken law, and they are reckoned righteous in the sight of a holy God. 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells us, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." And you see what it says to us? He that believeth on him is not condemned. It doesn't say he will not be condemned when he dies or at the judgment. clearly states that the believer has been completely set free from condemnation the moment he or she believes and trusts in Jesus Christ. Acts 13:39 tells us, "And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." Romans 8:1-2, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And the very moment a sinner believes on Jesus, their iniquities, their sins, their unrighteousness is taken away, and immediately God counts them as righteous. And we cannot become righteous by living a good life. We become righteous by believing on Christ, and that is the only way. When we believe from the heart, his righteousness is imputed to us. So who is lost? When are they lost? He that believeth not is condemned already. You see, all those who have not placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, all those who have not believed are condemned right now. Right now, this very moment, they're already condemned. See, there's no need to say, "I hope I won't be lost when I die." You're lost now. When you die, it's too late. If you're not a believer right now, you're lost right now. "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John 3:36. If you are lost, if you are an unbeliever, then you are under God's condemnation right now. The unbeliever is reckoned guilty before God. The unbeliever is reckoned as dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians 2:5, "Even when we were dead in sins." Every unbeliever is one heartbeat from an eternity in hell. He who believes not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why. Here is Bible proof that there is no sin so great, so damning, as the sin of unbelief. You see, the drunkenness, murder, gambling, lying are nothing more than fruits of unbelief. It only takes one sin, the sin of unbelief, to damn a soul for eternity. And listen, a person need not be a murderer, a liar, or a cheater in order to be lost. They can be honest, they can be sincere, they can be moral, live good, upright lives, outstanding citizens. But if they die without Christ, with no faith in him, they will go to hell for eternity. It is only in Christ that we are saved and set free. It is the sin of unbelief that damns the sinner. You say, "Well, I at times sin." Well, listen, for the believer, the sins of omission or commission rob the believer of their spiritual birthright. They rob the believer of true joy, full joy, the full reward, but it does not rob them of their soul. Those who refuse to believe on Jesus are certain for an everlasting hell. There is no sin so insulting, no sin so offensive and provoking to a holy and righteous God as for man, who he created in the image of himself, to refuse the wonderful gift of salvation. And you think about it, which was provided at an unknowable cost of God's only begotten Son. And to refuse to believe on Him is the capstone of the pyramid of sin. To refuse to believe on Jesus is to padlock the door of heaven, to shut oneself out of that glorious city of God. Acts 4:12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus, God's Son, who God sent into this world. Thirdly, those who are condemned. Verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This condemnation has to do with all, not just one nation or race, but the whole world. Jesus was plainly revealed to Israel, but they rejected Him. Satan darkened their minds and hardened their hearts, and they refused to see and believe. And today, just as in Jesus' day, the real reason people are lost is not because they do not have light and cannot know the way of salvation, nor is it because God is not willing that any should die, that God is not willing to able and be ready to save them. People carry on in their unbelief because they love their own way. It's as simple as that. They love sin. And we are told clearly that sin is pleasurable, but sin only lasts a season. And they love sin. They will not come to Jesus so they can be delivered from sin and have His righteousness imputed to them. And it is the nature of the natural man to love darkness instead of light. And because of that, they go on in darkness, refusing to acknowledge and see the light and allow the love of God to come into their hearts by faith. This is the condemnation. You know, it doesn't get any more emphatic than that. This is the condemnation. Men and women are not condemned because they are sons of Adam through no choice of their own. Yes, it's true, Adam's sin is born into everyone, and death by sin. But listen, light has come into the world. Those who are condemned are so because they refuse to accept the light. See, light and love have been provided. God sent His Son. He gave us the most wonderful gift of salvation. But people, knowing this, still continue to go on in darkness because they love the pleasures of sin. And we are told clearly in Romans 2:1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. Thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest does the same things. You see, light has come into the world. 1 John 1:5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. All sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, to the Pharisees in John 8:12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He is the light. He was the Word made flesh. The word is a light to our paths, a lamp unto our feet. Jesus has declared God unto this world, but we're told in our text what men think. Men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. And darkness here is speaking of two things, a mental and a moral darkness. See, and that's the darkness of the fruits of sin. You see, men love the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. The natural man cannot love the things of God because his very nature has not been changed. It is just sinful. And before we can love God as we should love God, we must experience the new birth. We must have a new heart, a new spirit. And men and women apart from God, they're ignorant. They're blinded. They're superstitious. Blinded by the god of this world. And the evil deeds spoken of here refer to the evil habits of life. And people will not change their wicked habits apart from the miracle of God's grace in the heart. And mankind's flesh has never been willing to obey God and follow his commands. And it's not hard to see the sinful nature. We have some lovely young children out there, even a baby. If they don't get what they want, they complain, don't they? It's very simple. Children don't need to be taught how to do wrong. But listen, parents, make sure you teach them how to live right before God. Listen, God's grace takes care of all the sin in the world. And in a natural state, man is not fit for the kingdom of God. In fact, Isaiah 53:6 tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. And our verse there, John 3:19, clearly shows us why men are lost, why they will miss heaven and spend eternity in hell. And I want you to pay real close attention to what I'm about to say. There is not one suggestion that God predestines people to destruction. That is a lie of the devil. There is no suggestion that God's love and Christ's atonement does not include whosoever. And if anyone spends eternity in hell, it will not be because it was God's will. It would be because of their own stubbornness in refusing to come to Jesus Christ. Adam was not willing to obey God and walk in God's commandments. Eve was tempted. Eve ate the forbidden fruit. She gave it to her husband. And God judged them and all creation. And salvation is of the Lord. He thought it, he planned it, he perfected it, and he provided it. And it's for everybody, not an elected few. And that is a sinful gospel, and any believer should have nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. The true light has come into the world to guide all who want to know the way to heaven. And those who refuse to come to the light do so because they love their dark, sinful ways more than they love the purity and the holiness and the ways of God. Listen, man will reap the fruit of their own ways. They will reap what they sow, more than they sow, and later than they sow. That's the principle through the whole Bible. And if they refuse to come to Jesus, the light of the world, they will spend an eternity weeping and gnashing their teeth in outer darkness. And we cannot help being born in sin. We cannot help the corruptness of the flesh and the blindness of the natural mind and heart. But what brings condemnation is the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light that came into the world to lay down his life for our sakes. You know, only a fool would reject that gift. Only a fool. And the tragedy of all tragedies is for a man or woman to plunge over the cliff of unbelief into a lake of fire that burns with brimstones when all their sins, listen, have already been paid for. What a tragedy. Everything is paid for to be made right, to be forgiven. And man says, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. Everything has been purchased, and all a man or woman needs to do is to come to Christ and accept the gift. We are in a day today when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are being mocked and taunted as never before. They are blasphemed, derided, degraded. And just as true that God sent his Son the first time, not to condemn the world, but to save the world, Jesus will come a second time to judge it. And if you're not in Christ, that means you're lost. Today is the day of salvation. Today could be the day you accept that gift that has paid everything for you. But you must come freely. You must come of your own will. Today is the day of salvation. And in this world that mocks God, God still gets people's attention. As I said earlier, there are tragedies and an amazing thing to look back at the tragedies that happen around this time of year. I read of one, John Lawrence, he wrote about it. He said, sometimes the cup of iniquity is full and people are ripe for judgment. In such a case, it may happen as it did in a flourishing, beautiful city of Messina in Italy. In the early morning of December 28, 1908, a massive earthquake and tsunami struck and 84,000 souls were killed. Only a few hours before that devastating earthquake, which laid Messina and the surrounding district in ruins, an unspeakably wicked and irreligious condition of some of the inhabitants was expressed in a series of violent resolutions that were passed against all objections. The journal Il Telefono, a vulgar anti-Christian journal printed in that city, actually published an abominable, blasphemous article in its Christmas issue, a mocking imitation, daring Almighty God to make himself known by sending an earthquake. And 3 days later, it was in ruins. God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. He did not come to condemn, but to save. He gave his life in our place. If the Holy Spirit has touched you today, do you need to get things right? Because only by your free choice to accept Christ can you be saved. Only then, when you come to Jesus, can your sins be put away. Has the Holy Spirit touched your preconceived ideas of what you call surrender and religion? And is he calling yourself to him? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we all said, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, that the gospel is for everybody. We praise you, Father, that no man can forgive our sin as far as salvation is concerned. We thank you that the gospel is not just for special people, but it is for all who are willing to come to you. And we pray, Lord, if there's any unsaved here today, that the Holy Spirit has touched their heart and they recognize that today is the day of their salvation. And for those of us who are born again, may we be in awe of what you have done for us. May we recognize why we do celebrate this season. Because of your Son and the wonderful gift he is to our lives, to this whole world. And may we proclaim that message loud and clear. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.